This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Almost time for us to wrap up. A few more minutes left of the show. And if you'd like to get in touch about that question, if you had to furlough staff over the past few months, what measures have you taken to help them through that transition? Let us know. 018-789-8899. Twitter, Instagram, at BFM Radio. We've got a final story from Arvin about his favourite topic.
Meditation.
After Netflix and other things, it's meditation, right, Arvin?
Yeah, so Snap has announced that users would be able to access free Headspace meditations directly in the chat section of its app as part of the company's new product called Snap Minis, which are bite-sized applications that live within chat designed to be used with friends. So one of the more interesting parts of the Headspace Mini is that it also takes a solo activity like meditation and makes it a social one. It's trying to encourage supportive friendships, while also easing the fear of trying a new vulnerable activity like meditation and making it something friends can do together. Once a user joins a session, there are 3 to 4 minute meditations to choose from. So there's stuff like just breathe, get out of a funk, kick the panic, be nice to you, pressure to succeed, and me time. The meditations focus on mindfulness basics, not just passing judgment when thoughts, enter your mind, returning attention to your breath, noticing how you feel. So it looks like the true purpose of the Bitmoji presence in the app itself seems to be a digital signal that you're not alone. Swiping up reveals a friendly camera module prompting you to check in with your friends that place a vibe check sticker on a Snap, and users can also send a meditation directly to a friend by clicking the arrow button or turn the link to a meditation into a clickable filter that goes over a selfie. So it's like a shareable experience through and through. All in all, the collab looks like a great fit for both companies because on Snap's end, it brings a high-profile partner to a new product that's meant to transform Snapchat into a platform that developers can build upon and potentially sell products through in the future. And a partnership with Snap makes sense as a way to bring new, a younger demographic to the practice of mindfulness. And it's also not focused on monetization yet. And it's also perfect timing, they say, because in the sense that everyone is feeling stressed because of the pandemic and the crisis that we're in. So a mental health program targeted at young people during a time of unprecedented stress and anxiety is probably a good fit. And at the end of the day, making the ability to take deep breaths and sit with your friends more accessible and less scary for people who might really need it is a win.
Chris?
I don't meditate at all. Okay, on a serious note, I guess I consider myself on the tail end of the demographic that this new Headspace mini Snapchat thing is trying to get at.
Mm-hmm. So what does that make me then? Careful.
I'm going to ignore that. And I'm not saying that, look, I haven't used Snapchat in a long time. Yeah. I think that's the other thing with how this is working. And I find it really, I don't know, I find it kind of interesting because already meditation is something that is quite intimidating. You know, as I mentioned, it's a moment where you have to make yourself quite vulnerable. And it's not, you know, it's not exactly like you sit down in a cave and you know, whatever. But it is a moment where you don't think of it as an experience that you can share.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that they're doing this now and that even Headspace is sort of endorsing it by you know, taking part in this partnership is something that I think is a different look at mindfulness and meditation that is nice, especially in a time where people are so far apart. It's something to do, you know, virtually together as well instead of just like watching movies or talking or whatever. I just don't know that I would do it myself.
So a month ago, if I saw this, I would have been like, yeah, nah, I'm not interested I'm not interested in meditation and stuff. But now, you know, I think I have a lot of anxiety that has built up from the pandemic or whatever's been going on in the last few months. It's taken its toll. And looking at something like this, I'm sure a lot of people who use Snapchat might have access to these things or might want to do it with other people who are going through the same thing. So I cannot dismiss it as much as I would have maybe a month ago. Like honestly, at the beginning of the year, I would have looked at this and gone like, maybe it's more of a private thing. Maybe it's something that you do by yourself. Maybe this is making meditation into a gimmick. But the way they sort of approach it, the way they say that they want to give people who already use this app access to things like this, people who might not have thought about meditation, because it's always considered, quote unquote, an older person's thing. Mm. Someone who's maybe like 18, 19 might not want to get into meditation because it's just boring for them. Mm. But especially because of what's going on now, and if they have stuff like anxiety and stress, it kind of makes sense to sort of access those things on a younger person's platform or on a platform that they are more familiar with.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You know, it's not going to be something that I'm going to go out and re-download Snapchat for, you know, and use this feature. But had I been a regular user of Snapchat and I saw this pop up, perhaps, it might be something that I would be interested to explore. Mm-hmm. But then again, to echo what Chris has said about, you know, mindfulness and meditation being this shared experience, that for me seems odd, but I'm not that demographic. Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, and there are clearly people out there who think that this is a good idea and it will work, otherwise they wouldn't be pushing forward with this idea in the first place.
Yeah.
But I think this is also a fantastic example of a continuation of the conversation that we were having yesterday about TikTok. And I think this is a great example of Headspace not underestimating, you know, the power of a platform that hosts content for, you know, the younger demographic, that 16 to 25 Gen Z, whatever we're calling it now, you know, that particular demographic. And it's a really good example of a company reaching out to that demographic on a platform they're already familiar with, as opposed to discounting it as like, but we don't cater to them, you know?
Yeah. Or they won't want to meditate. They don't have stress or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, that was a big discussion yesterday as to whether or not, you know, brands should be adopting TikTok and moving towards TikTok or whatever, and whether it's a big thing. And, you know, the numbers, as we know, are enormous on TikTok. And I'm guessing that, you know, Snapchat, albeit a little bit less, still has a substantial audience and big enough that this will have some kind of impact for those
people. They definitely
still
do, yeah.
And also, this might be a way for them to pivot, you know, because especially if they're going down the ranks and, you know, if TikTok is going to get stronger and stronger. And once people get to monetize on TikTok, that's going to be like a huge thing. Snapchat might need to find other ways to reach the people who are using it, reach their users.
Yeah, I've actually noticed that a couple of Snapchat filters are actually interactive. It will be like, answer this question and send it to your friends. And that's actually something I think they're trying to move into the direction of.
We've actually had a message come in just now, and absolutely pertinent and on point. I recently started meditating, and I treat it more as an exercise. I'm constantly training my mind to not stray and to be mindful rather than the, quote, achieving enlightenment view people have of it sometimes. By the way, in all capitals, meditation isn't an old person's thing. I'm 20.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying it's an old person thing. I'm 25. I'm just saying I'm not personally interested.
Right. Mindfulness, as you know, is a word that I'm not fond of. Meditation is something that I have tried in the past and really struggled with. And for those people who can do it, I am envious of, you know, because I know it's practice and you've got to keep doing it and one thing or another. I don't have the patience to do that as of yet. And I know these people who do it and do very well at it say, that's the problem.
They speak wonders.
Yeah. Apparently. Maybe I should get Snapchat. I don't know. Time for us to wrap up for the day, ladies and gents. Thanks very much for taking part in today's show. Of course, the question we were asking you, Chris, is...
We were asking, if you've had to furlough staff over the past few months, what measures have you taken to help them with that transition? And that's because the article I covered is from Fast Company about 7 healthy ways to deal with job loss. We took a look from the employee's perspective, and then we also took a look at it from the employer's perspective with Avinash Kumar of Monroe Consulting Group.
We then did a story about how to write good termination letters. We had a few different suggestions. We read out some of the portions of those letters that were made public or had been leaked. And that is what we spoke about, how to write good termination letters, because telling an employee that you have to dismiss them has never been an easy task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we finished with how you can meditate now using Snapchat.
If you missed any part of the show, don't forget the podcast is available shortly. It will be up on the website and, of course, available via the app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Links to all of the stories that we've spoken about as well will be available in the app. They will be linked in that. Don't forget, though, coming up after the 1 o'clock news is the Breakfast Grill replay with Philip Alston, the former UN special reporter on extreme poverty. After decades of maintaining a national poverty line that many criticised was misrepresentative of the true scale of poverty in the country, Malaysia recently made the decision to revise the line to 2,208 ringgit. Philip Alston, a vocal critic of the previous line, commends this as a step forwards. But is it enough? That's coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Christine Wong, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place here at noon. To take us into the news, it's Big Thief with Great White Shark here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.